Here, that's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, Jesus.
Amen, 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 amen. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul addresses the young Timothy and says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Father, bless your holy word now. Your blessed word. Thank you, Father. Lord, Holy One, once again for this privilege to stand and preach your word and do what you've called me to do for the reason I'm here, why I live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul does not mince words when he says something. He says it in clarity. There's nothing uncertain about it. When he gets through with it, you understand exactly what he meant and what he intended to say. Verse number 5 of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Apostle says, there is one God. That's all, just one. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, folks. Jehovah, the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ of the New. Revelation 1:5, the Almighty. There can only be one Almighty. And if the Lord Jesus Christ is associated and identified as the Almighty, then that's an impossibility for anything or anyone else to try to rise to that occasion. Just one God. But the Bible said in verse number 5 in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and one mediator between God and men. Just one, not the church, not me, not Mary, not you, not anyone else. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, emphasizing his manhood, emphasizing the incarnation, emphasizing the fact that he walked among us 2,000 years ago, the sinless, perfect man, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle lays it out for us and says, there's just one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So this morning I'm going to preach you a message about the man, Christ Jesus. There is no other subject as great as this one. There's nothing else that has any meaning in the whole Bible except as it relates to the man, Christ Jesus. Any doctrine, any event, any person that try to pull out and set aside and contrast it or set it in opposition to Christ is an abomination of God, to God. For my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's revelation to man, and it gets no higher. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the man, Christ Jesus. When He was here, He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He gave sight to the blind. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside, blind, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave him his sight. John chapter number 9, a man was born blind, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave him his sight. At the pool of Bethesda, a man had lain there for 38 years. All it took was a word from the Lord Jesus Christ, And the lame man stood up, carried his bed, and walked away. The demon-possessed man of Gadara was living in the tombs. He was been bound, and they could not bind him. He was insane, crazy, demon-possessed. But one word from the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the demons of hell left him, for they had to, because his word has authority. Then there is the dead that was raised with Lazarus, no doubt. In John chapter number 11, Lazarus, he said, come forth. And this is the voice of the Son of God. And the Bible said in John 5, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear that voice and come forth. I heard it in 1973. He called me out of my tomb and put life in my soul. Saved me and wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was as dead can be dead. But the voice of the Son of God brought life to my soul. Amen. So therefore, many more miracles could be recorded. The Apostle John said the whole book of John is written that you might believe. Record 7 miracles. And he said these things are written that you might believe. He said truly many more things did Jesus. And if you wrote books about it, the world could not contain all that he did when he was here. It's enough to know this. He has power over death. He has power over sin. He has power over sickness. He has power over demons. He has power over everything. In him, in word, is full, absolute, and complete power. And he can change your life today. He can save you and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He can heal you. He can deliver you from that sin, from your drugs, for whatever's eating you up and destroying your life. He can deliver you. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus, and there's deliverance in the word that comes forth from his mouth. Therefore, his miracles are real and attested, my friend, and I believe every single word of the Word of God. His message is to be found in the Bible in John chapter number 4 and verse number 26. He said many things, but he said this. Jesus saith unto her, do you believe in the Messiah? She said, I know Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the anointed one of God. The Bible said God did not give the Spirit to him by measure. No one has ever been anointed like the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave him the Spirit in absolute and complete fullness. Complete from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was anointed and he spoke with anointing power. He healed with anointing power. He lived in anointing power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed of God. In the book of John chapter number 6 and verse 35, he said he was the bread of life. Some of you are hungry, but you don't know what you're hungry for. You eat this and you eat that. You've tried all the slop that Satan can put before you. Why not try the bread of life? Try Christ one time, genuinely and sincerely. Maybe it's because you're a bigger hypocrite than the hypocrites you're hiding behind. Maybe it's because you really don't want the truth. Then you wouldn't have anything to gripe and complain about and hide behind. Come clean with God. Come to him just as you are, and he'll give you the bread of life. The Bible said in John chapter number 8 and verse number 23, I like this. In John 8, 23, he said this, John chapter number 8, and verse number 23, he said, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I like that. As high as the eye can see, you'll never find him. As far as a spaceship could ever reach, you'll never rise to where he is. But your heart can look beyond what your eye could ever see. And your heart can reach into the very presence of God and embrace him in faith. Why don't you try that? I am from above, he said. He's not one of us. He came down to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, and verse number 58, he said this to the disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, the I am. The I am. In John chapter number 18 and verse number 6, when they came to drag him away, to take him to crucify him, the Bible said they came to him at Gethsemane. And Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Do you know why? Because their pride could not hold them up. Their arrogance could not stand in his presence. They were nothing but mere human beings. And glory had just manifested itself in front of them. Deity had spoken into the ear of nothing but a creature. When he said, "I am he," he was saying, "I am that I am." And if we don't ever get a hold of that, we'll never understand who he is. He still is. I am that I am. He was in eternity past. I am that I am. He has never ceased to be. I am that I am. And he's everything your heart ever sought. He's everything you ever thought you wanted to be. He's all the answer to your soul. He's the one that can take your sin away. He can lift the burden from your heart. You can walk out of this house today completely different than you were when you came in, because he is who he is. He does not depend upon me. He doesn't depend upon you. He doesn't need you, friend. I don't know what preacher told you God was limping along before you showed up, and he's got to have you. He does not need me, but I need him. I am that I am. Glory to God. If you could get a hold of the fact that from everlasting to everlasting, he has never needed anything. He has lived forever and will live forever. He exists because he exists. I am that I am. He thunders out, and I cry back to him, "Thank God you are who you are. I need somebody that big to take care of this old boy." Amen. In John chapter number 9 and verse number 5, he said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Amen. Some of you messing around with this religion, you're messing around with this psychology, you're messing around with this and that. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, "Coexist." And I thought, here we go again. Here's this liberal mindset. There's this crazed idiot that has no idea why they're here. And then I looked in the back window, and there it said, "The Episcopal Church." And I thought, surely your pastor doesn't agree with coexist. I'm telling you, if I saw that on the car that came to Temple Baptist Church, I'd say, "Was it on there when you bought it? You haven't had time to get it off yet, I hope." Amen. Because it's a bunch of garbage straight out of hell. No, we don't coexist. I serve a true and living God, and there's none beside him. Amen. There's just one light, and that's the light of Christ. Everything else is nothing but pure darkness and leads to damnation and hell. Thank be unto God. I know the light's there, but he turned it on in my soul one day. And I know whom I have believed. Amen. John chapter number 10 and verse number 7. The Bible says this. John 10:7. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." There is no other way of salvation, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is the door to the sheepfold. That's where he keeps them. But he is the door to heaven, where he takes them. And I thank God I'm born again. Nor the door, nor the way. Forget your philosophy, psychology, and all the rest of it. Gobbledygook garbage. Take your coexist and throw it in the garbage where it belongs. There's one God. Amen. John chapter number 10 and verse number 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I'm one of the sheep. He gave his life for me. He's the good shepherd that gave himself for me. He didn't tell me he loved me. He showed me he loved me. All it was came from him was a bunch of empty words. I'd say of him like I have most religious people I've known. Blah, blah, blah. Empty word, word, word. Talk, talk, talk. Not him. He went to a cross. They nailed him on the tree. He shed his precious blood so that I could be saved. Talk and stop. It was time for action. And he proved he loved me. And he died for you too, folks. The Bible said by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Who? The man Christ Jesus. What about Buddha, preacher? He doesn't exist. What about Confucius? He doesn't exist. What about Mohammed? They don't exist. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, no creature exists at all. He upholds all things by the word of his power. In John chapter number 9 and verse number 35, I love this. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when they found him, he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And of course, an honest answer, "Lord, who is he that I might believe on him?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Is there any doubt in your mind now that the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God? Is there any doubt in your mind? I don't know what somebody else's Bible says, but I know what the real Bible says. And this book tells me he's the Son of God. It tells me he claimed to be the Son of God. There's power in that statement. Amen. The Son of the living God. John 11, 25, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said that to Martha. John 11, 25. Some of you think, "Well, I'm going to die one day. Going to put me a hole in the ground. They'll forget about me. That's all there'll be to me. I'll be over. It'll be all over with and all done. Die like a dog and that's it." Oh, you really know that for sure, do you? You really do now. You must be, you're a whole lot smarter than I am. If you know what lies out in that world of the dark where nobody's ever, that where you've never been before, and you can't talk to anybody over there, and you tell me you know what lies beyond that door, you're a fool of all fools. Let me tell you how I know what lies beyond that door. I believe the book. I know who came to my heart. I know who saved my soul. And I know what the Bible says is true. And the Bible says plainly, "And the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." That Bible tells me that on that other side, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He looked across the gulf and he saw Abraham and he saw Lazarus. And he said, "Abraham, Abraham, I'm thirsty. I burn. I hurt. I suffer in these flames." Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. So don't tell me that you know what lies beyond. You better believe that 5 seconds after they die, every atheist is a true believer. Amen. There are no unbelievers in hell. And there are no actors in hell. They might have acted here, but they don't act there. Everything is real when you wind up in the pit. So he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." John 13, 13, I like this. He said in John 13, 13, I like this. This is a good, good, powerful statement. He said in John 13, 13, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." He is the Lord God Almighty. He's Master. Now some of you say, "Well now, Lord, Lord, Lordy, Lordy, Lord, I believe in the Lord this, Lord that, Lord this, Lord that." But you just pick up when you walk out the door, live any way you please. Forget about him until next Sunday morning when you pick him up and put him on again and carry him in here. And then for the rest of the week, it's just this, that, everything under the sun. But him, he's not the Lord to you. But cheer up. Glory to God. Cheer up. If you belong to him, he'll get your attention and he'll become the Lord again. I think it's the most wonderful thing in the world when a Christian gets out here deep in sin, backslidden, cold on God, and they wonder if they ever were saved before, when God comes to them and wakes them up. Amen. That's a shouting time. For all of that stuff been going through your mind, your doubts and this and that, all of a sudden everything is rearranged and you realize you did belong to him and he's calling you. I've watched grown men walk this aisle bawling and get down on their knees and get down here and say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You brought me back, you brought me back, you brought me back." Amen. Now, if that's going through your mind this morning, it's God reminding you, those I love, I chasten and scourge every son that I receive. Amen. John 14, he said, He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 15 said, I'm the true vine. Revelation 1:8, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And Revelation 1:17, he said, I am the first and the last. His ministry was pretty simple. It can be broken down into three distinct parts, three distinct areas of the ministry of Christ. The first part, it says in John chapter number 1 and verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the Jew first, and He came to them as their Messiah to offer them the kingdom. And they rejected Him. They rejected the kingdom. Then in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 8, 16, verse 18, He begins to change the focus now. It's not so much about the Jew. Now an entity has been brought in that He has to develop for them and open up their mind to receive. Matthew 16, 18, He said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now He begins to talk about His church. It's no longer the focus upon the Jewish Messiah bringing the kingdom of heaven to the Jew. Now He's talking about His church, the church of God, the church of the living God. By the way, that's what this is this morning. Hallelujah. Now, some of you might have been to this club and that club this past week. Good for your clubs. Fine with your clubs. You might have been to work. You've been here and been there and all that stuff, this, that, so forth and so on. But when you walk through those back doors and come together in His name and the Holy One meets in our midst, something happens in here that happens nowhere else on the face of this earth. The church of the living God is breathing and alive, and He is in the midst thereof. He comes into His house and He walks up and down inside this house. You say, I see each other. He doesn't see anything but Christ. The only thing God's looking for is that deity that covers every last one of us. He knows behind the gold is the wood, and He knows behind the wood is the stone cold wall built upon a house where He could come and fellowship with His people. He makes it possible so that He can come to you. Amen. Did you hear that? God makes it possible for Him to come to you. And He says it'll be the habitation of God through the Spirit. How else could He come into the midst of a bunch of people? And you're not perfect. There's not a perfect man in this house. If God expected you to be perfect before He'd ever show up, all we'd have in here is a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites thinking you are, and you're not. But when you come in the name of Jesus, you come in His name and walk in His Spirit and His power in agreement with who He says you are and what you are. You come in His name in communion and fellowship with Him. He does show up. And for some of you that have a hard time understanding that, it's because you judge yourself by yourself. You compare yourself with yourself. And you say, I know these people. They're not perfect people. He didn't say to be perfect to come into your midst. He said it's the habitation of God through the Spirit. We're covered by the blood, covered by the deity, covered by the humanity. Put every one of us in the wall exactly the way God wants us to be. And it'll become a habitation of God through the Spirit. Thanks be unto God for His Holy Ghost. Thank God for what you feel like you did in this house this morning. Thank God that it's altogether different than anything else on this earth. There's nothing out there that you can compare this with. No ball game, no theater, no trip, no nothing, no nothing that you can compare this with. It is the habitation of God through the Spirit. And He sees Jesus, and His heart skips a beat when He sees Jesus. So therefore, His ministry consummates in Luke chapter number 19, verses 9 through 10. Three distinct parts. He came into His own. He'll build His church. And now listen to what He said, the last breath out of his body. Right before He died, He had this to say. John 19, verses 9 through 10. Jesus said unto Him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as He also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save the house of Israel, the elect, the Baptist. They need it, believe me. What's it say? Indiscriminate. All humanity, irrespective of race, station in life, how much money you got in the bank. All are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's one thing men hold in common We may not all be the same in intelligence. We may not all have the same amount of money. We may not all have the same stuff piled up around us. But we are all equal in this respect. We are sinners. We are sinners. And He said He came to seek and save that which is lost. How long has He been after you? Tell me, how long? How long has your soul been burdened down? How long has it been since you had a good night's rest? And didn't wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat sometimes thinking about going to hell. How long has it been since that sin that's bearing down on your soul? And you know it's eating your life away. And you know it's getting worse and it gets worse by the day. How long has it been since you realized that He's seeking you? He's seeking you. He's seeking you. And if you seek to save that which is lost, it begs the question, well, if He seeks you, where does He find you? Where did He find you? The Apostle Peter said one of the worst things that you'd ever do to anybody is this, that you'll forget that you were cleansed and washed from your old sin. You'll forget where He found you. I remember what kind of life I had when He found me. I remember what went through my mind when He found me. I remember how I was living when He found me. I remember all about it, dear friend. I remember all about it. There's two different Charles Lawsons. There's the one before 1973, then there's the one after 1973. Two distinct different people. Completely opposed to each other. But He found me. Because He was seeking me. Quit running from Him. Quit running from Him. He's the greatest friend you ever had. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus. Oh, the sweet, blessed Lamb of God. There's no one else like Him. Come unto me, He said, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest for your souls. An invitation. Come, He said. Seeking to save that which is lost. This brother goes down here to the jail houses. Is it one house or two or three? He goes down there and he preaches all day Saturday. And 43 men are saved. You say, well, preacher, I don't know, you know. Well, you say, that's jailhouse religion. What, have you got church house religion? I know a lot of people got church house religion. I'm going to tell you what, folks. He's not limited. His arm is outstretched to save, whether it be in a jailhouse or a church house. I don't believe for a minute that those men didn't get saved. Now, how many of them got saved? That's between them and God. I don't know. But I'll stick with what He said. Because He died for all. Did you get the real thing in the church house? Quit comparing yourself with yourself. With yourselves. You're not wise. If you've really been born again, you'll rejoice. If you've never been born again, you're in doubt. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. I wish I could somehow or another. I don't know what to say. What more can I say to you? I wish I could introduce you to the man, Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to introduce you to the Baptist Church. I'm not trying to force you to our catechism and lay out for you some bunch of stuff you're supposed to believe, this and that, and check, go down the checklist, and then wave something over you and say you're confirmed. That's a bunch of garbage. It's the heart man believeth into righteousness. There's a place for catechism. There's a place for training. There's a place for knowledge. Absolutely. But that is not what saves you. What saves you is the heart that reaches out. Who's ever had your heart broken? You trusted somebody. You loved somebody and they broke your heart. You trusted somebody and they stabbed you in the back. Your wife ran off with another man. You're her another woman. Your husband ran off with another woman or another man. Now we live in that age. I mean, it can happen to you. It can happen. Broke your heart. You trusted somebody. You poured your soul into them. You believed them. You were naive about it. You were married, but they weren't. You know. But God will never do that. He'll never do that. And He really doesn't require that much of us. And everything He requires of you, He gives you. If you have, you didn't receive of the Lord. If He wants you to put faith in Him, He gives you the faith. If He wants you to walk upright before Him, He justifies you. Do you know the man, Christ Jesus? Would you come to Him this morning? Would you come to Him? The man, Christ Jesus. Now, why I emphasize man? Because the manhood of Christ makes God accessible to man. It brings him down in a sense now, in a sense, to our level. In a sense. And it makes him accessible.
Amen.
Makes him knowable. Makes him approachable. That's right. That's what it's about, the incarnation. Would you like to know him? Father, in Jesus' name.